I invite you to take a moment to think of phrases or greetings that come to mind this time of year. Go ahead and if you want, you can type them in the chat box. Some that I think of, obviously, Merry Christmas, that we've started to say in these last couple days. That always makes it feel like Christmas is nearly here. Happy holidays, joy to the world, deck the halls. There's even Bah Humbug. Right? Now, how about this one in terms of a phrase that we think of and associate with Christmas? Be not afraid. It's not one we typically think of, is it? Be not afraid. But it's the most common refrain in the Nativity story. We hear it when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary to tell her about Jesus and that she would be his mother. We hear it from another angel in a dream that Joseph has, telling him not to be afraid to marry Mary, even though she was already pregnant with the Son of God. And we hear it from the angels in this evening scripture who visit the shepherds in the field, telling them of the birth of God with us. It may not sound very Christmassy, but I love that "be not afraid" is in there. For one thing, we have heard the story so many times that any sense of awe and trepidation may have rubbed off a long time ago. But surely, surely the news of God becoming human, surely that was earth-shaking news to the first people who heard it. Not to mention, they were likely terrified to be in the presence of the angels delivering it. I loved how Dave read that scripture tonight when he said that the shepherds were terrified. For that moment, I thought, oh, yeah, this must have been a very scary encounter. As you might imagine, this time of year is a bit busy for pastors. And so it was no surprise to me when a pastor friend shared in a group chat today, a group text chat, that he had had an anxiety dream about one of today's worship services. Sounds a bit like the kind of dream that Joseph might have had when he first heard about the news of how his life was going to change. Now, this friend of mine who had this anxiety dream lives in a small town in Arizona where both public transportation and precipitation are rare. Yet in his anxiety dream, he was trapped in the subway during a rainstorm and unable to get to church to officiate the big Christmas Eve service. That's like every pastor's nightmare. Either that or you stand up and completely forget what you're going to say for your sermon. So in our group chat, we all chuckled a bit and assured him that all would be well. But then another clergy friend chimed in and said, "Well, if Christmas isn't about not being able to get to church, but instead finding yourself in an unexpected storm, then I am in the wrong religion." I think what this second friend might have meant by saying that Christmas is about nothing if not being able to get to church and finding yourself stuck out in a storm is that we so often expect God to work in a specific way, to meet us in church, but not to disturb us too much in the rest of our lives. I'm sure that's how Mary and Joseph and the shepherds all felt. I can imagine them all wondering at one time or another what life would have been like if they had just kept going to synagogue or just kept watching the sheep or just kept making tables and chairs and married the girl next door without any angels or announcements or babies made by the Holy Spirit getting involved. But God has this habit of showing up in ways that turn our lives inside out, of showing up in the moments that feel the least planned, the most out of our control, the farthest from what we would have chosen for ourselves. I can't think of a year when that has been more true than this one. And for so many of us, in really personal ways that have maybe nothing to do with the pandemic, lots of personal losses and hardships this year. But certainly, all of those things and much more has been exacerbated by the pandemic. Yet there are places where God feels nearer than ever this year, in spite of, or maybe because of, the accommodations and improvisations we've had to make. I think of the sense of connection between our young people in our buddy program. They're forming even deeper friendships within their church family because it's one of the only ways that they can safely be together. They don't have Sunday school. They don't get to run around at coffee hour, but they do get to connect one-on-one safely. I think of all of you wonderful folks who don't live near enough to worship in person at Park Avenue regularly, but who can join us on Zoom at the click of a button. I think of the ways our congregation has cared more strongly and deeply about each other and about the world, even though we've also gone through so much heartache. In a way, I think that's God's specialty. Drawing near to us when we are in the wilderness, inviting us to say yes, like Mary did, to the work God is doing in the world in ways that, yes, might turn everything upside down, or using the discomfort of our already shaken up lives to prepare us to crack our hearts open a little wider, to make that much more room to welcome Jesus, Emmanuel. Do you know the story of Silent Night? The carol with which we will end our service tonight as we have for so many years. You may know that it was written by a Catholic priest, Father Joseph Moore, and that it was first performed on guitar in a church in Austria. But the story is a little more interesting than that. On Christmas Eve in 1818, Father Joseph brought the words of the carol that he had previously composed to Franz Gruber, the church organist, and he asked him to compose a melody for the song, because there wasn't one yet, and he asked him to also come up with guitar accompaniment for it. Speaking of anxiety dreams and worst nightmares, that's probably it for a music director, right? To have the pastor show up the morning of one of the biggest services of the year and say, write this song, put some music to it, come up with guitar, we're singing it tonight. But the reason he did that is because the organ in their church had been destroyed by a flood. And they didn't have time for anything else. They didn't have any other backup plans. And yet, without those terrible circumstances that I'm sure felt like a huge blow to that congregation, a congregation that in a church that would be flooded again and again, year after year. Without those terrible circumstances, we would not have one of the most beautiful pieces of music on the planet. And we would not be singing it together tonight. So as we prepare to celebrate virtual communion and to pass the light virtually, let us remember how many beautiful things God can bring out of last minute or improvised plans, out of shaken up lives and unexpected angelic announcements. Let us hold a little less tightly to the way we think things should be or the way that we wish things were, and hold a little more tightly to that refrain of the angels. Be not afraid. Amen.